As we record this, breaking news took place in which Donald Trump was issued a W against Colorado in Colorado's case to remove him from the presidential ballot. We did cover this story before, but now we actually have a ruling and the Supreme Court ruled in favor of Trump. We're going to discuss what this ruling means, what this means for other states trying to remove Trump from the ballot now that a president has been set, and how much of a boost this gives Trump going into the 2024 election as we get deeper and deeper into the season. Then we're going to talk about some very interesting news. This is not a tabloid topic. We're not a tabloid type of podcast, but this is a cultural topic. We're going to discuss some recent information that has come out of the Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen divorce. Apparently, there was some cheating activities going on from Tom Brady's ex-wife prior to them actually being divorced. This is important because on this show, we do cover a lot of dynamics in terms of how men are supposed to navigate their way through the world. And some men might ask themselves, well, if the great TB12 can't do it, how am I expected to do it? So we're definitely going to talk about that. And then we're also going to cover what some people in the culture are referring to as the Christ pill. We are more and more increasingly seeing a number of celebrities, a number of people in very secular worlds finding God, finding Christ, and being very enthusiastic about it. So we're going to discuss that, why we think that's going on in culture. Let's get into it.
Yo, this is Hanging with Apes, an Audio Apes podcast. Real talk, real topics, no limits. Audio Apes, music with no boundaries.
What's up, everybody? This is K Cartoon.
This is RX Phonics.
We are the Audio Apes, and you are officially Hanging with Apes, a weekly Tuesday podcast where we discuss trending topics, current news, and relevant subjects with a philosophical and comedic flair and our take on it. Two guys from the south side of Chicago. There is explicit language at times, so be advised. Going over to our website, that's hangingwithapes.com. You can sign up for our newsletter. And if you want to listen to some really good rap and hip hop, go to any major music streaming platform, type in Audio Apes, and our catalog pops up.
It truly is the best.
It truly is the best. Like always, if you're listening to us on Apple or Spotify, give us a 5-star review. It helps us out a lot. If you want to help us stay independent, go to our website. You can donate an amount of your choosing or buy some merch. And if you know somebody that would be interested in the things that we talk about here on the show, please share it with them. We're on all podcast platforms. So I know we covered the case before. We covered it briefly. And when we did cover the Colorado case against Trump to remove him from the presidential ballot, we said then that it wasn't looking good for Colorado. There was basically echoes from even the leftist judges that basically suggested that they questioned whether or not the lawyer that even brought this case like had went to law school, because like it was just so asinine. So I wouldn't say that like we were very surprised by this ruling. I was a little bit surprised at 9-0. I thought maybe like at least 1 or 2. I did say it would the lowest it would be was 7-2. Yeah. I knew it wouldn't be like lower than that. So 9-0, that like really shows how it's like unanimously they agreed that the case was BS. So there was not a lot of surprise in terms of the ruling. And I think generally speaking, people across the board felt that way as well. But what kind of effect do you think this has on Trump? Like, do you think he's bolstered by this? Like, what do you think his head is at right now?
Well, yeah, because it's like a lot of pettiness that you don't have to deal with, because just recently Illinois was trying to bar Trump from being like on the ballot. And so like all this petty stuff from the blue states that are and it only happens to be blue states that are doing it. It just something you really don't have to worry about, and a super big boost, because it's like, okay, well, there's some normalcy in politics.
And I think also, like, it's a boost for him in the sense of, like, how regular people relate to the news and how they perceive it is, it's like the people that believe that the charges being leveled against Trump are bullshit, they're being vindicated. It's like the Supreme Court just vindicated you in showing you that these motherfuckers are on bullshit. Yeah. So to me, I feel like this doesn't so much give Trump a boost as much as it hurts the left, because now what is, like, being revealed to people in real time is like, oh shit, like the shit that, like, Donnie T is saying, like, it really is a witch hunt. Like, they really are on some bullshit.
Well, yeah, because look at the last three things. The Fannie Willis situation, that's like, that's embarrassing, really. The 353 or 355 million, what is it? I wouldn't say it's a lawsuit. It's the order to pay. Yeah. It's your order to pay it. Like, clearly bullshit. Like, clearly anyone rational that understands how businesses work, people that are trying business, to do business,
real estate, banking, any of that stuff.
Like, that's a clear, precise, like, where the fuck was that, like, coming from? A lot of bias, political bias. And then this with the Colorado thing, another, like, situation where it's like, first of all, not an insurrectionist, okay? Now, if he's going through the motions in court of whether or not he is or he's not, how do you call someone an insurrectionist when they haven't even, they're not even a convicted one?
Yeah.
So, like, now I could just be like, well, fucking rapist Michael Jackson, because people said it. Right. That's what people said.
Yeah.
But people say a lot of things. People call a lot of people different things that they aren't. And so I could just go around and say, OJ, you're a murderer. Or not, because he's not convicted
of murder. Exactly.
So what are we talking about here? So a lot of people, they don't realize like the damage that these states are trying to incur, but obviously didn't, because of the way the Supreme Court saw it. It's like, you're really, like, playing with the Constitution, like, and it's dangerously playing with it.
But it's so wild that, like, officers of the court thought that they could proceed in this manner, knowing that, like, you have to substantiate. And that's what's so interesting about it. It's almost as if culture is spilling over into, like, the legal realm. Because if you think about it, like, we've lived in a culture for quite a while now. I would even say, like, before Trump was in the picture, we've lived in a culture where people, like, politicians, Obama did it, his head of the DOJ did it, like, Biden has done it now and in the past. You see it a lot more with, like, people on the left. Bunch of people on social media do it. Like, they say a lot of things, and, like, they don't back it up. It's just like, oh, what is that shit that they would put online? Like, ACAB, all cops are bad.
Yeah.
Shit like that. It's like, you're just saying stuff. You're not substantiating it. Like, you have no idea what you're talking about. That's been our culture for a long time. Like, and not just that, it's like, people say shit like, oh, like, white privilege. And it's like, well, okay, well, show me, like, what white privilege is. It's like, oh, well, it's this thing. It's this, like, magical, like, being and, like, whatever. Like, all of this stuff, oppression and, like, the victimhood Olympics and, like, all of these things that, like, nobody substantiates. It's just, like, you say it. So that's been a staple of culture for some time now. But what we're seeing is that, like, that shit spill over into, like, the courtroom. And for me, I find that shit so appalling, because I've usually, and you can testify to this, usually like when I've debated people or I make my point about like, you know, like a disagreement, like in a certain like cultural topic or a certain political topic, I always resort to, well, how would we look at this in court? Because right here, our conversation, you're just going to say what you say, and like I'm just going to say what I say, and like that's just two people talking. But if there were a mediator to this, if there were somebody that were moderating this argument, like a judge would or a jury would, well, how would this play out in court? You know, and it's like, and how things play out in court is based off of the preponderance of evidence. And so to me, that's always like been a very... Not only profound and insightful, but also like a very healthy way of solving arguments and debates. Because it's like, if you have two friends that are debating, right? And like, let's say like you're playing the role of the moderator or the mediator, whatever have you. And it's like, all right, well, he's making a more compelling case than you.
Yeah.
Like, so as it stands, as this case stands, he's like basically like shat on your argument.
Yeah.
And you have to accept that. Like, and I've always thought that like that was like one of the most beautiful things about this country is that our legal system is that.
Yeah.
It's like, one, it doesn't assume guilt. It assumes innocence. So that's like great. The assumption of innocence, because you're innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
Which Trump is not being treated like that.
No.
So, two, it doesn't assume malevolence. Like our legal system, it doesn't assume that like you're an awful person off the bat. It's the prosecution's job to like it, to establish you as an awful person. Like if they're against you, like in the eyes of the judge or the jury.
Yeah.
But off the bat, you're not automatically perceived to be a malevolent being.
Yeah.
So like that's another badass thing. And then the third and probably like the best of all of it is that everything that like is declared has to be backed up and substantiated.
Exactly.
And that Supreme Court shit with the Colorado shit, none of it was present. None of it. It assumed that he was malevolent because like he's not yet convicted of being an insurrectionist. So now it's like you're going with this assumption, which our legal system is supposed to be vehemently against that.
Yeah.
So like the foundation is like gone right away. The second thing is you're not assuming innocence because he's not yet convicted. So the fact that you're calling him an insurrection is that because your rationale for removing him from the ballot is that he's an insurrectionist yet has yet to be convicted of it. It is insane. And then thirdly, you're going forth to the Supreme Court and none of your case is substantiated. You have nothing to back up any of your claims. So that shit was wild.
Like,
so
like look at what she said. This is the Colorado Secretary of State. It's wild that she's saying this. Let me see if I can find the... She said, "My larger reaction is disappointment. I do believe that states should be able to, under our Constitution, bar oath-breaking insurrectionists." It's like... That
again, like how, where do you get off saying this? Like, substantiate that he's an insurrectionist. You're supposed to be an officer of the court. You can't talk like that.
Yeah,
like,
that's scary.
That's for a dummy on social media. That's for like the Kardashians. All these morons, they could talk like that. But like as an officer of the court, you do not get to talk like that. No, everything I say, if I think this person is A, B, C, and D, I have to support why they're A, B, C, and D. You have yet to do that. And the idea that like you're okay with just saying that, like that shows you and not just you and me. I think what we're seeing now is it's showing people that those that are in the system, running the system, in charge of the system, they're pretty awful. Like that's what, and not just with this California, the Colorado situation, But in the Fannie Willis situation in Georgia, that also, like, the notion of, and we haven't really talked about this on this show, but just like a little bit of a backdrop of that case, essentially what has taken place was the Georgia case for Trump was the case where supposedly he called somebody in, I want to say it was the Secretary of State of Georgia, and after the 2020 election, and he said, supposedly said something to the effect of, oh, you need to find me like 11,000 more votes or 12,000 more votes or whatever the case, right? So number one, nothing is being done here. Nothing is being ordered. This is like somebody talking, which I think any like normal person would like look at that type of speech as like figuratively and like not literally, but whatever have you. So that they took that and they felt like they had enough grounds to level a case against case against Trump for like, I don't know what the exact charges are in that case. It was like attempts to like manipulate an election or whatever. Like they're really like a stretch, like laying that shit on thick. Okay. So that's, so the DA that has been tasked, the district attorney that has been tasked with prosecuting Trump, somebody in Trump's, because it wasn't just Trump, it was like it's a RICO case. So it's Trump, Giuliani, a guy named Michael Roman, who Michael Roman is basically like the key figure in the case, because Michael Roman is the guy that basically like let motherfuckers know like, all right, well, they're trying to get at us, but I know that like the DA and dude been getting busy. And like some funny shit has been going on, and it's been going on for a while.
Yeah.
So essentially what Michael Ronan brought forth to the courts was that Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade was a private attorney who was like contracted to prosecute a case. Mind you, has no prosecution background whatsoever.
Yeah.
But because she found him to like qualify, which it turned out that they were having a sexual relationship. And basically what it turned out is that like he was being given like these big fat contracts. And then basically he was spending a portion of that money on Fannie Willis. So you're the one in charge of giving the guy the contract. You're sleeping with him and you're reaping the benefits of the money he's getting from the contract.
Well, the money was from her house. It was money that she keeps at her house.
Yeah.
You don't know, like, you know.
Right. and so.
Just the way she carried herself.
Yeah, grotesque.
Yeah, it's like, bro, are you even a professional?
Yeah.
Like, sass. Like, it was just like trashy. Yeah. Like, you're a trashy person.
And then there, it was badass because somebody else brought one of the lawyers in the closing arguments.
Yeah.
He brought up something badass. I was like, ooh, like that shit is like icy. He was like, he said, not only should she and him and like their whole DA team be disqualified because like they're all a bunch of liars. And like, dude, like just went on substantiating how they're liars, like providing all of the proof. All of the evidence, because they lied about this, they lied about this, they lied about this, they lied about that. But he went on to say something to the judge that was badass. He was like, and furthermore, as a public figure, she had no right to stand in front of a spiritual congregation, because this is what she did apparently. She stood in front of a spiritual congregation, and she told the congregation that the only reason that they're coming after her was because Nathan Wade is a black man. Like, but you got to think of why that's important. You're the DA. Like, you can't be saying, like, you can't be saying, like, these, like, unsubstantiated things like that. Like, because that's technically, like, slanderous to the prosecution, basically. Yeah. It's like, well, you're slandering. Well, in this case, they're Nathan Wade and Fannie Willis are on the defense in this particular case. Yeah. They're on the prosecution against Trump, but in this case that we're referring to, they're actually the defendants. But in this regard, she was referring to the prosecution.
Yeah.
And you're as a public figure, you know that that's not why. No, nowhere in the charges leveled against you in that docket does it say charges against the state of Georgia's v. Fannie Willis for lover being black. Like, they didn't say that anywhere in there. Like, but so as a DA, you're wrong in saying that to a congregation. You know you're not supposed to be saying that shit. Like, you'd be like, oh, I don't agree with them. I think the charges are wrong. I think they're unsubstantiated. I think they're false. I think they're hollow charges. You could say all of that.
Yeah.
But you don't get to say they are coming after me because he's a black man. There's nothing you can't say that.
Yeah. You sound like literally like a diversity hire. Like, you, how did you even get to this position? The way you talk, the way you carry yourself. Cause like, you know, in politics, you got to have some sort of like gangster to you on how you say things, how you move, how you, how you maneuver. None of it.
No.
She had none of that. Like, you could just tell, like,
all ghetto, but like no gangster.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, well, that's not going to work out for you. Did not work out for you. And good luck.
Yeah, so we'll see how the judge rules in that one. But I think even that, like, it was so abysmally clear that there was like some funny business going on. I don't see how that judge rules in favor of.
Yeah.
And if he does, that would strike me as like pretty corrupt.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, I would.
And I don't know. Did you see the closing arguments for the defense? The guy, he kept stopping, like he was nervous. He was all bad. The closing arguments for the prosecution, man, they got busy. Busy, busy, busy. Like, one of the best actual courtroom performances I've seen in real life.
Yeah.
Like, you get a lot of good movie courtroom performances.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah,
like,
yeah.
This was like movie level, but like in real life.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, that shit was like real worthy. But the defense, that dude was all fucked up. And Fannie Willis kept looking at him like, oh, this motherfucker, I'm about to lose my job fucking with this motherfucker.
Yeah, yep. That type of thing, that's the people you surround yourself with. And it's like, it's funny because really it's stupidity. It's concerning in the sense that like these people are holding kind of like high levels.
Huge levels of office.
Yeah, and that.
These are people tasked with prosecuting.
I know. That's
the last president of the United States, like in terms of like legal status. I don't know if it gets higher than that.
It doesn't. Yeah. And so you see that there in Georgia, you see it in Colorado, you're seeing it in Illinois. You saw there was another state. Was it Maine? No, it was D.C.
Maine was on it. Illinois was on that.
Yeah. And so like, on one hand, it's concerning, yes. But on the other, it's like, you're so stupid, like, 9-0.
Yeah.
You know, like, 9-0, but...
Not even close.
Yeah.
Not even... There was not even a game.
Yeah.
That shit was just, why'd you show up?
Shit was a fucking shutout. That's the latest shutout pitched since the last baseball season. Yeah, but it's like, it's crazy. And so you look at it from the perspective of, like, well, at face value, yes, the current system we have is working the way it should. But the fact that there's so many bad actors, really, like, it should be, like, very minimal. But you're seeing these people pop up out of nowhere. At what point do you think that they could actually, like, infiltrate and start affecting the Supreme Court? Because, like, see, this is the thing. We got lucky in the sense that Trump was the president the last go-around, and he was the one kind of who was able to put he put three Supreme Court
Gorsuch,
justices.
Amy Coney Barrett and Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah. And so what if Biden or what if Hillary was in office? Would we be in trouble right now?
But that case was so abysmal though. Like, I don't even, like, I can't imagine like any like real judge, any real justice like siding with it, because I did hear a portion of the arguments that you didn't get to see because they don't allow cameras in there, but you got to hear the audio, and it was bad from the beginning. There was no like when we first covered it, the sentiment, like I said, the sentiment even from the judges on the left. Or light, the left-leaning judges, it was the sentiment of like, why are you here right now? What is this? Like, what are you doing here? This is crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just their tone. It was like, you could tell that they were like appalled at the notion that like, that this could be here. Like, why is this here?
Yeah.
It's like, we have like real shit to like, to discuss. You're here with this bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's embarrassing. And part of
it's
me,
it's like, have you ever been like behind? This is, I don't know, this is just what I imagine their sentiment was. Like, have you ever been behind somebody, like you're in a rush, right? And like in the store, and like you got like one thing you need to get, and like you're in line, and the person ahead of you, like they have like a number of things and whatever, like you accept that they have like what they have. But then, like, they start like pulling out like all these fucking coupons, right? And then they start haggling, and then in the end, when you find out like they're haggling over like 25 cents, it's like, come on, like I'll give you the 25 cents, like yeah. I gotta go. Like this is, I imagine, like that's what the judges felt like when that case was brought forth to them. Like, what is this? Like, why are we here right now?
It's a waste of fucking time. Yeah, yeah, and in that regard, it's like, okay, well, some normalcy, because the shit that we've been seeing, it's like, man, I don't know. We're on the verge of something bad if this was even brought. So, yeah, exactly, like, this was brought to the Supreme Court, right? Like, should never have been.
No, but it was brought because... It was an expedited case because it's like, all right, well, they're trying to keep him off the ballot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it has to be expedited because this case has to be rectified before
the election. Yeah.
The election. So the problem is, it's like, so I understand Trump wanting to excel the case, like and his people wanting to excel the case. But my thing is like, Colorado, you tried your dirt. And you know that it was bogus. And so, like, the minute that it was going to the Supreme Court, I would have, like, dropped it. Like, it's like, you know, how could... You knew you weren't going
to
win.
Well, then to answer your question...
But then maybe it's arrogance.
Well, your original question was, why do you think they even, like, brought it all away and went along with it? Well, the thing is, damn near, you know, a little less than 4 years ago, everything was shut down. Mail-in ballots were king. You could not trust your own eyes.
Yeah.
Because of the things that they said. They stopped you from being able to critique, criticize, question the jab, the virus, the mail-in ballots, all of that. They've been working with that type of arrogance ever since. Like the left behaved as if they were never going to lose, and then you fast forward and they never lost, did they? Because Biden's in office. And so I think at this point a lot of that, like, oh yeah, no, I mean, we did that,
yeah,
and so we could do this.
Yeah, you're right, because it's funny because you said that and you brought up the virus, and it's wild because I don't know, it was like over the past week, I don't know if you came across the CNN. It was an article from CNN.
Yeah.
The headline. I was like, how fucking dare you, motherfuckers? How fucking dare you? The headline read from CNN. Be ready. Maybe you want to hold on because this shit is gonna make you upset. Headline read, it's official. We can treat the virus just like the flu. Like,
what? That's many years late.
Like, what the fuck? Like, what? the account of, like, where there's no accountability. Like, the idea of, like, we were wrong.
Yeah.
Like, we were all wrong about everything. We are sorry. We are sorry. We owe you. We owe you.
Yeah.
Would you, can you ever trust us again? Like, that, where is that?
Yeah.
Oh, it's official. We can now treat the virus like the flu. What? You motherfuckers. Like,
yeah.
When you were calling people crazy that were saying that. You were the saying pandemic that they were of the awful unvaccinated. And that they were delegitimizing the whole thing and that they were dangerous and people were going to die because of this rhetoric.
Yeah.
Man, yeah. Hell no. But it goes to the point that you just made, that it's like, oh, well, we could do and say whatever we want and you dumb fucks are going to keep voting for us. Yeah. And fuck you.
And like the level of ignorance, because like just this morning I was talking about, I forgot. Oh, I was talking about like in Mexico, how like all this red tape is nowhere to be found when it comes to like medicine.
Yeah.
Like we've been to Mexico. I've gotten sick. Friends have gotten sick. You go to the pharmacy. It's so fast tracked that like it shit makes like the United States look like ancient shit.
Yeah.
Because it's all this shit that you got to jump over. Oh, you got to wait till your appointment. You can't just go to a pharmacy.
Did you do the dance?
Yeah.
Did you spin three times?
Like it's nuts. And then it's crazy because remember, and see, it's funny how it's a bit shocking, but also like sad because the Dallas Buyers Club.
Icy ass movie.
It shows like a Mexican doctor who found a solution to like dealing and maintaining your health with when you have AIDS or HIV. And all this red tape back in the U.S. and they were giving medicine that was killing people. You know who was the face of that shit? Dr. Fauci. Yeah. And so it's so funny how people don't realize their history when it's right in front of you. Like this was just in the 80s. This guy was selling this shit like it was liquid gold. Like, oh, you guys gotta take it, you'll live, like it'll help you. Everybody's dying from it. And like, this is the same person that was the head of all this Rona jab shit. And it's like, bro, at what point do you not look at what this man is, which is a total failure and like a hack, really? Because like, he don't know what he's doing. Or he knows what he's doing. He's making his buddies rich and himself richer too. And so these are facts. Like go look it up. Go look up the movie The Dallas Buyers Club, which is a real Dallas Buyers Club, but it'll at least lead you into like the history of how that even was a thing and like what Dr. Fauci was on during that time.
Yeah.
And like people don't
And that was always one of Ron DeSantis's strongest criticisms of Trump was like, bro, why didn't you get rid of dude?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's just like the thing. Like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Yeah.
There was shame on all of us as to what we allowed. Like, because so much freedom just out the window. It for what?
Nothing. It's the flu, apparently, now, right? Yeah. We've been saying that, but now I guess it's okay to say.
Yeah.
I guess I could say, oh, well, CNN said, like, man, fuck these people. Like, that shit, like, because people lost businesses. Like, people lost money. Like, that shit was not, that set kids back. Kids back in school. The American school system is already shitty.
You saw Dr. Phil. Like, it set them
back even more, huh?
Dr. Phil on The View.
No.
He was like, he's like, what they did to these kids is damn near criminal because it wasn't even hurting the kids. And then they're like, what do you mean? You're saying that no kid died from it? I know what I'm saying is, and then Whoopi, of course, of all people, burst in and says, oh, no, but anything is worth it to save people. And like what you don't understand is like we didn't know what we were dealing with. And then they're like,
but we did.
Yeah,
we did know. Like there were people that were with that.
Yeah,
we did know.
And then they ask him, they're like, oh, so you're saying no kid has died from COVID? No, what I'm saying is the irreparable damage that we did to the kids and the abuse that they endured during this time when they were supposed to learn have set them back so much that like the real problem was shutting everything down for the kids. And he's like, and that's not an opinion, that's a fact. And like, they could, what are you going to say to that? And you saw that, like, that demographic was damn near not affected at all. Of course, there's always going to be some person that gets affected, it was way, some child.
Like, the demographic that was not affected at all was most people.
Yeah. Yes.
Most people were not affected at all. Like, in terms of, like, worrying about death. Now, if you want to factor in, oh, well, like, yeah, you could develop a cough. You could, like, get, you know, back pain, all of that. Yeah. But those things are present with, oh, can I say it now? Mainstream media, the flu. Like, those things have always been present.
Yep.
So... and we never shut down the world for that.
Hell no.
Crazy. So crazy. But yeah, that when I saw that, I was like, just like the complete lack of, like, just the hubris, the complete lack of humility, the complete lack of accountability, of integrity, of responsibility. No wonder why nobody trusts the mainstream media, because we're not the only guys that are perceiving this like this, like many people are, and they're like, wow, this is awful.
Yeah. They better not fucking try and dupe people in the future, because, like, things have changed for the better, and that I am proud of. I am proud of the fact that, like, from then till now, you started seeing this did mobilize people to be a lot more vocal about shit, about the shit that either Disney's pushing, Bud Light's pushing. It mobilized people to be like, all right, well, what's with this Rumble? What's with this X? Elon, you buying it? Like, people mobilized and created another avenue. Like, literally, like, the Tate brothers, they're on Rumble.
Yeah.
You know, all the people that get canceled on YouTube, they're on Rumble. They still have a community. And so that only grows. But the thing of it is it still doesn't stop the fact that, like, the government, that shit was laid on too thick when it came to, like, not letting people be free to make their own choice.
Yeah.
And like, the amount of people that were just blindly complying was still concerning, you know? And, like, that's the thing, too. Like, I know you've probably debated many people when it comes to this. What would they have to say now? Will they concede? Hell no.
That's the problem.
You slap them with the truth right there. This, that, look at this, look at that, look at this. No, but we didn't know back then. Okay, cool. So I'm Nostradamus.
But there were people that did know, though.
Yeah.
And, like, you called them crazy. Like, that's the thing. It's like, that was the other thing, is like, the people that were on our side of the argument, the way that the mainstream media referred to them, it was so vile. It was so awful. Like, how could you, you know, it's not even like, oh, well, you know what? We can, like, understand people, like, their hesitancy, this and this and that. But it was just like, oh, well, like, basically, like, it was into the realm of, like, that they need to, like, be shamed and they need to have their rights taken away and they deserve to lose their jobs and everything like that. So crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane. But yeah, so... it's wild now because this is a huge win for Donnie T. Then, if Fannie Willis is disqualified,
what happens to that case?
That case now gets left to another county to take the case. And more than likely, like, they're not even going to be able, if they do decide, because other counties might be like, man, we don't want no part of that shit.
Yeah.
But if they do decide to take the case, it more than like, by the time they get all of the paperwork and get everything in order, it could be well after the election.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's wild how, like, things are playing out for Trump right now.
Yeah, because it's like, this motherfucker has, like, some type of, like, historic run that, like, nothing that you do is going to stop him.
And I said in pre-production, it almost seems biblical.
Yeah.
It is wild. Like, well, you and I were having a phone conversation about it recently. It does very much seem like we are like living in like a kind of like big moment in history.
Yeah.
Like one of those moments that you read about in a history book.
Yep. It's just so crazy. Cause you read about history. You read even like the stuff that the stuff that I read in the Bible. Right. And it's like, did this stuff really happen? Like, obviously some of it metaphorically, but then like in history, like, damn, that happened? That actually was a thing? And then you think, like, damn, like, things are so much better now. But it's like, no, not really. Like, it's just the different battles.
Yeah.
Like the story of the pandemic, that's one story. The story of Trump is another story. The cultural story. Like, the stuff that we've seen culturally, like, it's like, it's really a mixed bag of a lot of shit. It's not one thing. And so this Trump thing, it's like, it's crazy because, like, the implications of it. The before Trump and the after Trump, you know? Like, it's like shit, like, out of a movie, really. Like, yeah. If you think about it. So it makes you think, like, damn, like, how is this all at play? Like, who is really the people?
And how does it end?
Yeah, exactly. We'll see.
We will. So moving on, we have covered the world of the red pill, the world of the tradcons quite extensively. And as more and more cultural events take place, we see that there is this dichotomy very much present between the red pill and the tradcon community. And we saw that yet again in how one woman in the red pill community and another one in the tradcon community perceived the recent information from Tom Brady that he essentially said that he accepted that his ex-wife, Gisele Bündchen, was messing around with her jiu-jitsu trainer prior to their divorce. Which is a wild thing for him to just say.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Come on. You know, I don't know like what the context of like why it was that was said or like the source, why they brought that out or whatever the case. But naturally, so the divorce itself is not like a new occurrence, but this particular piece of news is new. And I don't like want to look take it on from like any sort of like salacious perspective. Like we're taking it on from like the cultural perspective and to lend credence to the things that we've talked about before. The notion of if what Tom Brady is saying is true and that was really taking place, that further dismantles the argument of the tradcons like promoting marriage and everything like that, when if a guy like Tom Brady can't be worry free about like infidelity, like what chance does like the average guy have?
Yeah, you're over 6 feet tall, you're the best in your field,
arguably the best ever.
Yeah exactly. You're on some GQ shit. Like, pretty much anything a woman would want. Tall, handsome, the best ever. I'm here, baby. You can have it all. Oh, fuck. You
didn't cheat it on me. I'm going to ruin it.
And so to me, and the fact that one season of football really fucked that whole thing up, it's like, that is wild to me. When you are the greatest ever to put on the cleats, to go in and do your thing, you're not going to do that for the rest of your life. You're already up there in age. That really was the breaking point. Like, bitch, who did you think you were marrying?
Yeah.
Who did you think this man was? Like, he was in a drop, like, his career for... No, like, you married a football player. This is what football players do.
And so... Just Pearly Things in the video, she covered the video from the red pill perspective, and she was basically saying, like, yeah, this is why I understand where guys are coming from. Yeah. Like, how could you not? Like, as a rational woman, how could you not look at this and be like, yeah, I understand why guys don't want to, like, rock with any of this shit. Yeah. I get it. So now, with the flip side of it, Brett Cooper from over at the Daily Wire, she covers the subject. And I wouldn't say she completely absolves Giselle of any guilt, but she definitely, like, spreads the blame more than just pearly things. And she's like, oh, well, it's funny because she starts off the video saying, like, oh, well, like, cheating is not right, this, that, and the third. But then she goes on and basically, like, caps off the video by saying, oh, well, but you have to, like, put your family first and everything like that.
Yeah, it was a comment that she saw.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, oh, I can't find it. But basically, it's talking about how, like, you can't keep putting family second because, like, stuff like this can happen. And somewhere along, but it's like, how are you putting your family second when this has been your career? Like, you have to finish your career. You have a career.
And who made that rule anyway, that, like, the family can't come second? Like, I imagine, like, many brain surgeons put their family second. I imagine many cardiologists put their family second. Yeah. Like, I imagine there's a lot of great people that do great things that put their family second. Yeah. Now, granted, you could say, oh, well, this is a sport. Like, nobody's life is at risk. And I would say that your argument has some legitimacy to it. But what I'm arguing is, who said that, like, the family can't come second? I think that there are many instances where great men that do great things have to put the family second.
Yeah, yeah. Look at, like, the founding fathers.
It's like, oh, I'm sorry, sir. I know, like, you're dying of a heart attack, but, like, it's family day.
Yeah. You know, every Sunday, me and the fam.
Yeah, nah, wild as fuck.
So, I hope you had a nice life.
Yeah.
Yeah, that to me, that's where the Tradcon shit kills me, because you'll have the nerve to say some shit like that. And then, like, you say that as an influencer, because she's an influencer. The Daily Wire people, they go out of their way to bring you content, which I fuck with. Like, I like that people are putting out content and informing you, whether you agree, whether you disagree. We were actually in, really not pre-production, but earlier today, we were getting some stuff done, and we were talking about how, like, Lex Fridman, like, we don't care for him that much, but, like, it's badass, like, he'll have all these people on.
Yeah.
And we were talking about how when he had Kanye on, and then recently he had Tucker Carlson. And it's like, to be able to have these moments, there has to be some level of sacrifice.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, fuck, hey, Tucker, I can't come in today. Can we slate it for next week? Because, like, I forgot that, like, my family wants to go out today. Is that fine with you? Like, no. Like, no, you have to sacrifice. People in your circle, if they love you, they'll know, like, wow, this person is a passionate person. This person wants to thrive. And, like, now they have a Tucker Carlson.
I think you hit the nail right on the head. Love. I think, like, that's where love is shown. That's where love, yeah, is displayed. Like, love is not just, oh, well, like, we're all here together and we're happy, so we love each other. It's like, well, that's kind of easy to love like this. I think where love is truly on display is, like, no, like, in fact, I think, like, a wife that, like, is really loving would probably be the one to be like, no, like, go. Actually, like, no, you should go. Like, you should play another season.
Yeah.
You should go interview Tucker Carlson. Like, that's what you should do. You should be what you need to be.
Yeah. Sometimes your soul needs that. Like, your soul needs to see, like, well, can I do this one more time? Can I push myself one more time? And it's like, you know, when you decided to marry the man, like, you had to understand that, like, that's, this is not just a football player. This is a guy who, like, excellence has always been, like, if I don't win a championship this year, it's a failure. It's not like, I don't care if I went to the Super Bowl. It's, I'm accustomed to winning. And so when it's a perfectionist, and you see this with a lot of, like, the greats, whether it be Jordan, whether it be Brady, whether it be Wayne Gretzky, whether it be Muhammad Ali, like, Floyd Mayweather, like, they make it look easy because they train in and out every day. like, they talk shit and they operate on that level because they've put in the work. And so that's commendable, but also it's like, you have to understand that, like, this is like, if it comes to the food chain of alpha, that this is what it is. Like, this guy, that's what he is. You have him for the rest of your life. You're married to the man. You guys have conversations, work things out. Like, you guys are millionaires. You can make it work. You know, it'd be different. Like
I'm going to ruin it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, oh, well, you have to sacrifice time with family. Like, come on, bro. Y'all have all the money in the world. You could travel. You could do some impossible shit if you really wanted it to work.
Yeah.
And so it's hard, because when you look at that situation, more than like the tabloid shit, because
yeah, that we're not talking from that perspective.
Yeah, it's like the modes of thought, and in pearly things, it's that red pill. Like, I can see why men don't want to go down this route, because like, you can work your whole life for something. You could put it all. Yeah, work for it yourself. Make the money yourself. Put the hours in yourself. And you marry somebody who's fair weather, and then they leave, and then they take half. And then it's like, and then you're still somehow the bad guy. Because, like, she obviously hid that whole thing. The whole stepping out. Well,
I don't think she took half. So, in that regard, I don't know. I didn't ever hear any reports of, like, her taking money. Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, she's worth more than Brady.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. So in that regard, that doesn't necessarily apply to Brady's situation, but it applies to many other men.
Yeah.
Many other men. And so, like, your point is still legit.
But like that news anchor, do you remember that shit? I forgot what station it was, where she's like, yeah, women, they are so independent. And then, like, the guy's like, come on. I forgot what her name was, but he's like, come on, Jill. You've had a divorce, and you're getting money from your husband. Well, I forget what it's called, alimony. He's like, you're collecting alimony. And she's like, but I have kids. I started laughing because her whole attitude changed. Yeah. Her shoulders went down. It's like she felt like she needed to explain why she's taking alimony. But, like, bitch, you're talking big game, for at the end, you're taking alimony.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, whatever, you have kids. But like, you're talking all this independent, we're equal. Well, then shut the fuck up. You're collecting alimony. That's at the end. Because, like, if I was if I was married to a chick that had more money, I'm not going to take half. I'm not going to take nothing. Like, I've been.
Same.
Yeah. Solo dolo. I'm good. Like, hey, we don't need no lawyers. Keep your shit. That's your shit anyway.
Yeah.
I'll survive. And so that's a real motherfucker for you. Like,
yeah.
When a woman does some shit like that, then it's like, okay, cool. Like, you really think that. You know,
it's
like
real.
This is some real shit, and you're really respecting this is who he is, and you're gonna do your thing, and you're a survivor, and you're a hustler, and you're gonna, yes, queen,
yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
slay, slay, queen,
yeah, 100%, 100%.
So to me, it's just a very interesting aspect of it all, because that's the deal that fucking breaks men. And the trad cons, they talk about, well, he wasn't there for the family because he was out here hustling. Or, oh, like, there by any means, you have to make it happen. Or, I can never get a divorce because I'm Catholic. It's like fairy tale land shit.
Fuck is you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's interesting. It's definitely an interesting cultural conversation because, like I said, Brett Cooper definitely, to a degree, absolved Giselle of the blame. Like basically, like, there was like a bit of I wouldn't say justifying what she did, but like, she definitely rationalized it. Like,
yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, you know, but what are you gonna do? Like, if you're not there for the family and this and this and that. And it's like, yeah, whatever. But yeah, yet another example of how the red pill and the trad cons, like, look at the world. And like a very big thing, because like, now this opens the door, which I'm sure, like, we will eventually come across a discussion like this. This opens the door for the discussion of, okay, that's like TB12 and his like very high profile divorce. So now how do the tradcons look at like all men that get divorces? So all men, like the divorce rate, 50% divorce rate. So all of those marriages, is it all men's fault? Like, yeah. Are they all not dedicating time to the family and all of this and all of that? And then from the same people that are also advocating for the no-fault divorce shit, like, you motherfuckers are just all over the place with it.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, whatever you want, like, if you want a fast car, if you want, like, an amazing vacation, if you want whatever it is that you want, if you want to save for retirement, like, you have to work hard. And that comes with sacrifice. Like, anything that's worth anything is worth sacrifice. Like, so you have to sacrifice. And that's another thing that people don't understand. Like, you look at all these people that go to the gym, look all great. Like, they spend hours in the gym, you know? You know, I would even venture to say that probably less time in the gym and more time being a little bit more well-rounded would be just what the doctor ordered. But what I'm saying is, whatever you want, you got to work hard for it. It takes time and it takes hours. And so this notion of, like, culturally, we've even started to normalize, like, oh, men and women, they have kids. Oh, the man has to be home helping. That's not how it was before. That's not how, that's not what's necessarily normal. It could work in different dynamics, but it's like, if the woman is at home recovering and she has the baby, like, the dad should be out making money, spending hours, putting in the hours, so then they could be safe and they could be whatever it is that they need. And it's like, even that, culturally, you're starting to see, like, women are like, oh, men need to help with this. Yeah. Men need to help with that. It's like a lot of nagging.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, sometimes I struggle to understand, like, if people in general have lost, like, their sense of, like, what balances things.
Yeah.
You know, with talking about the last topic, we're talking about Rona, this whole at home, working from home.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people, they think, oh, well, I need my me time. I need to, life isn't always work. No, life is always work. If you'd like to change that, then work more and then make it where it works better for
or,
you.
Or work doing what you love and then it doesn't feel like work. But you're right. It is. It is always work. And, like, well, you and I were having a conversation earlier before we segment into the next topic. How, like, sometimes, like, we're so caught up in our own world and, like, the things that we do and, like, the work we put in. It's like tax season. So it's like, oh, all right, getting paperwork together. We got the podcast. We got endeavors and like all these different things. And it's funny because there's so many people that, like, none of that stuff, like, so much of what occupies our time, none of it, like, applies to people. And so I've always said this. It's like, I don't, like, the word bored is not in my vocabulary because there's always something to do. And if I'm not doing something, it's probably because, like, I'm so, like, dead tired that I just want sleep. But other than that, like, there's always, I don't understand how people get bored. Like, there's, have you conquered the world? Like, you've like achieved God status that, like, you're bored because, like, that's, and I don't even think God gets bored. So, like, it's like, how could one be bored? How could that happen? How can it be? And it's funny because it's like, sometimes, like, we're caught up in our own world. So, like, we, like, operate the way that we operate. But then, like, you look at other people and, like, their life is, like, a lot, like, more, like, normie.
Yeah.
And the, it really is like a day and night comparison. Yeah. And it's like, wow, you know, but then at the same time, the fruits that your tree bears is, like, it's so much more abundant then yeah. And then it's like, oh, okay, like now you see, and now it makes sense.
Yeah, it's weird too, because like now, what I noticed back then with men before, even when it came to family, even when you got home, you were like doing projects. Yeah. Like it was never like you came home to chill.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, I got to work on the car. Oh, I'm gonna renovate the bathroom. Oh, I gotta fix the attic. Like it's always like work.
Yeah,
that was the mentality, and now you start seeing like people in our age group, like, oh, I'm home, I'm gonna go play video games. Like, bro, if you're gonna go home, like probably there's shit to attend to, like there's stuff to work on, things to do. Things to learn. Just because you're married and have kids doesn't mean that it stops there. And even that is different.
Even one could argue that when you have kids that are married, you probably need to put in even more work.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And so I have noticed that is a bit of a difference. Because I remember growing up, like my dad would come home. It was almost like your second job. And then even then, like, he'll be like Saturdays and Sundays, there'd be mornings he wasn't there because he's like, oh, well, like, he would do electrician work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, all right, a trade. Like, this is my little side thing. I'm going to go work on. And then he would get, like, little contracts with companies, like, little, like, mom and pop shops to set up their electrical shit. And it was funny because he didn't have the license. His friend did. But he knew more than his friend, so his friend was like, all right, well, fuck it. Like, you come with me, we'll just split it.
Yeah.
And we'll get these little contracts. And it's like work, work, work. Like,
exactly.
It's Sunday, people are sleeping, I'm doing a project somewhere, making money, and we're good. All right, we're going to go on vacation because I'm always hustling. I'm always, like, occupying my time with something productive. That's another thing. Skills. And so people, we've gone so far off the reservation where it's like people are more so, again, worried about, oh, I'm working from home. Like, man, if I had one of those work from home, bro, I probably would be doing my job working from home, doing a trade. And like, while I do that, all right, cool. Like, cause like I've seen people do that shit. Like, it's like they're working on certain things on the computer. Man, I'd be just making it work. Like, yeah. Whereas people were looking at it more so like a vacation, time to find myself. Like, nah.
Yeah. And then when you found breed. Yourself, what the fuck did you find?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a real piece of shit. I'm just I have nothing to offer the world. No, I'm just playing. No, but like, it's crazy, the mentalities.
So moving on. So there's this here and there around the interwebs, we see this this idea of the Christ pill. And so everything's a pill now. We got the blue pill, we got the red pill, we got the purple pill, we got the black pill, we got the Christ pill. And apparently the Christ pill is just exactly what it sounds like. People taking the Christ pill, giving their life to Christ, like turning over to Christianity. What's interesting about the Christ pill, though, is that we're seeing it increasingly with like people that like you wouldn't like typically expect it from. We seen it with Shia LaBeouf, the actor. We seen it with that chick that, I don't know if she still is a tattoo artist, but I know she was, Kat Von D. She was talking about her journey into Christianity on the Theo Von podcast and how she basically, and she was like really like on the other side of the spectrum into like witchcraft and tarot cards and like yeah. all of that, like kind of like weird, wild stuff. And they've basically given up like the secular life and like went towards the spiritual life. And like them, there are many. Those might be like amongst the most like high profile people, but like them, there are many. And if you look at the numbers, you are actually seeing like a little bit of a tick up in like Catholicism and stuff. Yeah. So you and I, we were talking about it, and it's interesting because you and I, we have a very, I feel like for guys our age, for guys where we're from, we have a very close relationship with God. Like it's something that like you and I have talked about a lot over the years. I feel like we find God a lot in the things in our life, like the purposes that we pursue. I also feel like we're also not like bunny rabbits. Like, for instance, like there's a lot of people that are they believers of God. Not necessarily Christians, believers of God. And like, they're so soft though, that it's almost like you feel like, you almost kind of get the feeling of like, well, you believe in God kind of because like you have to, because like you're so soft that like, but with us, it's more of like the, like a warrior. It's like a warrior meets like St. Thomas Aquinas. Like St. Thomas Aquinas, for people that don't know, like he was basically the person through Christian doctrine that basically he found a way to like balance like what the world we perceive and like the spiritual side of things. So like, for instance, it'll be like, okay, well, yes, I see that like the bees make the honey and like there's like a whole like science to that. But he perceived it like, well, yeah, but maybe like the one that created the science to it, like that's the creator. And yeah. So I say that to say that it's like it's being tough. It's being like understanding of like what the world is and like how to like operate in the world as like what people would consider to be a man. But at the same time, being logical about and pragmatic about the world and like using reason, but then also sort of accrediting the whole process to a higher being, a higher power. Like I guess that's like the simplest way that I could like phrase it, which
yeah.
the subject of God, like there's really nothing simple about it.
No,
like,
it's not
like
at all.
Probably the most complex subject like that ever existed. But with all of that, I say all of that to basically establish like to people, because it's not something we talk about a lot on the show, but to establish to people like where we come from. And I think sometimes people could look at certain of our like certain philosophies are of ours and they'll be like, oh, well, like if you guys like believe this, like how could you like rock with like something that like Myron Gaines says on Fresh and Fit about sleeping with like 50 women or whatever. And it's just like, well, yeah, because like, you still have to like use like your reason and rationale and like look at the argument for what it is,
yeah.
Not just like complete, like you can't like operate solely off of dogma. Which many in like religious groups do. Like it is like a lot of dogmas. Like this is what it is. You can't like tell me otherwise. And like that's just how it's gonna be. So with all of that being said, I feel like we have a very interesting perspective on people that like take the Christ pill, because in one hand we regard it as, well, it's a good thing, you know, for them. Like they're finding peace, I guess, like purpose in Shia LaBeouf's case, like he has expressed that like he feels like now through God, he feels like his life is meant to be purposeful rather than be happy, which I do rock with that a lot because I do feel like we live in a world where like everybody is just like, oh, well, happiness. But that shit, like it really is fleeting. Yeah. Like that's not like a.
And how can you live your life happy when you're not serving people, like the people you love? Like
the greater world, the community, absolutely.
A lot of my motivation is like to be able to have resources for the people that I love. Like that's makes me happy. So you know, material things, they come and go. They're not really going to make me happy. It's nice to have them, but it's like, well, how can I be of help? How can I be of resource? How can I share information with people that need the information? And that is fulfilling. And so, and that is purposeful. And that is beyond like anything that would benefit me. Cause like sharing information or helping someone with a resource, that doesn't like, that's of no benefit besides the fact that I worked for something and now I'm knowledgeable about it. And I want people to be knowledgeable. You want to share the knowledge. Like one thing with one of our producers, back when we were making music heavily, like, well, Infrared, like every time I talk to him, he's always up to something like good.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm doing this. Oh, like he's always either working on his mind or on his body. And like that, and it's badass because it's like, you're like, you're again, we go back to the, your life is productive.
Yeah.
You're having meetings and you're creating your own thing. And like, that's badass. I like to see that. That makes me happy that people are finding like their purpose. And so when you see someone like Shia LaBeouf talk about like I found a purpose through this, like that's strong because like once you feel that, that keeps you like on task.
Yeah.
So you know, like him talking about how he had like an addiction problem, like you're not going to have And one thing that he said was like, oh, I'm an addict and I'm always going to be an addict. Like the fact that you've accepted that and you're purposeful, it's like that's a scary man right there. A man who understands that I can be weak. I do have my weaknesses, but because of my purpose, like I'm unbreakable.
Yeah.
You know? And so when you see people believe in that regard, it's like it's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing because like when you see the shit that they're saying and the shit that they're about, and you see like that, like it's almost like an aura of, to them.
Yeah.
When they talk about it, it's like, oh, that's a guy who's gonna be hard to stop in whatever he goes after. You know, you want to see that more. You want to see that more, and so in that regard, like I'm happy for him. But like how we were talking in pre-production. Do you think that that's something that would work on? Is that something that we could, guys like us, might not fully understand or might not fully take that route?
Yeah, I think we can fully understand it. I don't know if we would like fully take the route because the life is different. And in pre-production, I think you made some super valid points, like about how he became wayward, because it's like what he mentions in the interview, when in one of the many interviews that he's been in, like in the last few years, like which they all seem to be like really good interviews. Yeah. But I think that's because like he's real and he's honest and he's authentic. So yeah. That always makes for a good interview. But in the interviews that he's been in, he's talked about, you know, he became like rich young and, you know, he was a child star and everything like that. And you pointed out how there's basically like so many like character building moments that like you'll never get if your life is like that. And you pointed out, which I think was very strong, like the idea of like when you're young and like you're like, you know, in your teenager years, your adolescence, and like you start like chasing girls, and like that's such a it's such an interesting thing that so many movies have been made about it, from Superbad to like it is a very interesting place in, like, I would say more so in boys' lives.
The American Pie franchise.
Yeah, you're right. Like, but I would say more so in boys' lives because they're the pursuer, and like the girls like are being pursued, and it's basically like the girl's choice at the end of the day, like whatever she wants or whatever, like,
yeah.
And at that age, there's women are spoiled for choice. Like it's like, oh, whatever guy I want, I basically can have him. Whereas with guys at that age, you're basically like, oh, well, can I get one? Like, can I just like get one? Like, you know, let alone like, you know, however many, But at that age, and it's funny how like the way the game that time plays, because yeah. then it starts to like, if in the future, it very much is the reverse.
Yep.
Very much like as a guy, and it'll be like, you're like, you'll be like, oh, like I am attracting women. I'm not like not even trying. And
yeah.
like, it's yep. just because like just what I built myself to be. Yeah. So you factor that in and it's like, well, Shia LaBeouf, like, that's a character building moment. Like, you've never had to endure yeah. that,
because the angst of being told no, like, oh, I don't know, like, if she's gonna say yes or no.
Yeah, like that uncertainty, yeah. and then like maybe like seeking counsel with your friends, and it might be a whole lot of bad advice because they're just as inexperienced as you. But it's just like this thing yeah. that like we're in this together.
Yeah.
When you're Shia LaBeouf, like, well, you don't have that because like every girl's gonna say yes because you're in Even Stevens and you're in Transformers.
Yeah.
And like, you've basically played Megan Fox's boyfriend in two movies. So any girl that is like next to you basically is like, oh, well, like, you know, I'm his Megan Fox, or like whatever the, yeah. like, however, like weird, like romanticism, like they'll have in their mind. My point is that like, there's a whole bunch of character building moments that you unintentionally circumvent. And the money issue, you brought that up in pre-production as well. Like the fact of like, okay, well, like you never really had to like worry about money because like you've been rich at from a very young age, buying yeah. your mom a house, this, that, and the third. And so to answer your question, it's like, well, for guys like us, like we didn't have that life. We had a lot of character building moments. And not to say that he didn't, because he obviously did.
Yeah.
But they came at a time where in his life
the reality clicked.
Yeah, and the reality almost killed him, because it was like, damn, well, this is like what really is. This yeah. is like what it feels like to not have any happiness. This is what it feels like to be ready to like off yourself. This is what it feels like. Whereas if you notice, guys like us, or guys like from like our environment, the notion of like offing yourself, that's really like never even been like we've known people that have offed themselves, yeah. unfortunately, but our like core group and the guys that were like, that's never really been like a yeah. thing, because it's like, well, there's like so much like you've done and so much you've conquered that yeah. it's like it's hard to even like fathom that.
Yeah. And I would even venture to say that like, it's badass that we went through the journey we went through, because like, I can't fathom, and I'm humble enough to say this, I can't fathom being in his shoes, like being, having everything at a young age, because it skews your worldview.
Of course.
100%. Like my friends, more likely than not, and I'm not saying that it would be, but like might just be yes men.
Yeah.
I'm told yes all the time. Everything I touch, like I would feel like everything I touch turns to gold. I feel like it would be a lot of like, ego.
Yeah.
I'd be very ego heavy at a young age, and then like you said, like when you start seeing the reality of stuff, that would be a hard pill to swallow, because it'd be like, fuck man, like where the fuck did I not see this? Like yeah. I was so blind to it. And like, you know, it's hard. And you see, not only you see it with him, but like you've seen it with Justin Bieber, like when that little age where like he was almost rebellious, because like you're young and like everyone around me saying, you know, fuck it, just do it. And you're Justin Bieber and you do whatever the fuck you want. And then like, I remember like listening to the lyrics, I think it's like, Lonely or something. Mm-hmm. And it's like, he's literally talking about the themes of like, you can have everything you want, but I still feel lonely. And it's like, well, yeah, because life can be so superficial.
Yeah.
You know, Hollywood is kind of like a demonic place. Like, because, and not demonic because like, there's like, you know, they're telling you to do demonic shit, but it's like, if you don't have a solid philosophy on a lot of shit, you'll get eaten alive, because that's like where, that's a world where like, they'll front for the camera lights.
Yeah.
And so people are willing to sell their soul like this on a fucking dice game. like that easily. They're willing to gamble it all for everything. And it's like, that's not a great philosophy. But that's the world. It reminds me of the Macklemore song on the second album. It was like something tunnel.
Light tunnels.
Light tunnels, yeah. Like
great ass song.
Yeah. And it's like, he's explaining what he's seeing. And like everyone has makeup on and everything, the lights. It's like
in real life, this chick doesn't really look that good. And like, no. Yeah.
And it's like there's a reality to it. It almost reminds me of like that. This is one thing that like I loved about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was like, he, I don't know if you noticed, like with the beautiful women, they would be snoring super loud, which is a very jarring thing. But I think he was trying to say something with that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's not as pretty as it seems. Like, this is, but it's real life. This is real life. And
like to the point where like with, in the case of Roman Polanski, like he couldn't get sleep. Like he came outside all frustrated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, and it was like too hot. Like, cause that Italian chick was hot as fuck. Yeah. And then Margot Robbie, fucking gorgeous, both of them. But like they both had scenes where they were snoring. But it's like, but that's the reality of it.
Yeah.
And life is not perfect. And like, this is unfiltered. And so when you get that realization, I would imagine it's like an existential.
Yeah. Crisis.
Thing. Yeah. Cause it's like, it's the same thing. It's along the same lines as like a midlife crisis. Yeah. Cause it's the same notion. It's a different approach. Like, you get there differently. Like, see, like, if you do that Trad Connery shit, and, like, that's your life, is your family, and you don't, like, and that was one thing that we'll talk about that you actually saw with the Shia LaBeouf interview. But anyway, like, and things don't go well for you, or things seem stagnant, and then all of a sudden you're like, damn, I'm out of time. That out of time part, that'll do something to a man. That'll do something to anybody. Yeah. But like, man, like it's like, whoa. And that's why like you get the whole like, oh, I want to feel young again. Get the fucking a sports car, and I need to feel rejuvenated. It's almost the same thing for like the Hollywood star that has seen everything for how fake it is. It's like now they see the real, but it's like now you have to contend with that. Like, wait a minute, like what the fuck? What?
Yeah. You know, and then now you're scrambling like, well, who are the real women in my life? Like,
yes.
Who are the real friends in my life? Like, who's real? Because, and that's kind of what was wild about his journey is like the notion that everybody like distanced themselves from him because of like the accusations and everything like that. And then who was left standing there? Like guy like John Bernthal, who in the most recent interview that I sent you, he said, that's like that's my best friend. They asked him like, who's your best friend in Hollywood? He said, John Bernthal. Yeah. And it's like, cause this guy was there. And John Bernthal, according to what he said on the Joe Rogan podcast, he took heat for that interview. Like, I guess people were on some like, oh, like, why are you like gonna like talk to dude or whatever? It's like, well, cause that's my friend. Like, I doesn't mean I fuck with what he did, whether he did it or didn't.
Yeah.
But like, as a friend, like, I have to be here. That's like, that's what the definition of a friend is.
Yeah. That's like real love though. Like if you or Donnell gotten some heat for some shit, I'm ride or die regardless. Like, I would probably be like, God damn, what the fuck were you thinking behind closed doors?
Yeah.
But I'm like, yeah, no, like, well, whatever. Well, we've had
moments with friends.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to air it out here, but we've had moments with friends where they did some like shit that like we would never do. But in the street, it's like, well, like, no, you're not going to like touch them.
Yeah.
You're not, that's what's so wild is like, we've been there before.
Yeah,
we've been not maybe not to the scale, but like we've been there before where it's like a friend did some shit that is like, fuck, dude, like you literally like made the group look bad by what you did.
Yeah.
But these motherfuckers talking about getting at you and like, nah, like that ain't happening.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know, and that's wild. But that's also like kind of more so like that street shit.
Yeah.
You know, and like we're talking about Hollywood here, you yeah. know. So like that's like a whole different code that they don't even like know about.
Yeah, yeah. And to go back to what I was saying about the TradCon shit, like one thing that I found badass and like one thing that you pointed out from the interview was when they're like, oh, what about your wife and your daughter? He's like, yeah, like they're, he's like, how do you feel about them? He's like, well, they're not my everything. They're not.
Yeah, because the guy asked, they're your, the guy, the interviewer said, oh, they're your whole world. And he was like, well, Shia LaBeouf said, no, they're a big part of my world, yeah. but they're not my whole world. And he goes on to say, he's, I don't know if he says it's dangerous or it's unhealthy, but something to the effect, like basically like it's not good for somebody or a group of people to be your whole world.
Yeah.
It could be a big part of your world, but not your whole world. And like that's when like to me when I saw that, I was like, this guy's like really on like that path. Like he yeah. really is. I don't take it as, and he might fall, like because people are subject to fall and like nobody's perfect. But because I've seen that type of question asked to many other people, not necessarily celebrities, but just many other people.
Yeah.
And I've seen them just run away with the, oh yeah, my daughter, she's my whole world. My wife and daughter, they're my whole world. My kids are my whole world.
Yeah.
And it's like, and like guys like you and I, again, the background we have, the things we've seen, the things we experience, if that's like a notion that like we've always rejected. It's like, well, it can't yeah. like be your whole world. It shouldn't be. In fact, I don't think God rocks with it being your whole world. I don't think he would want that. And yeah, so that's interesting. And then on the flip side, you have like Kat Von D and the things that she has said. And for her, I feel like more of like what I've interpreted from her journey has been more so from like the perspective of like she was like around all of these people that were on the same things that she was on, living very secular lives, and like nobody seemed to be happy.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny is there's like I don't know, I know you know the song, but for people that are listening, they may not be familiar. Them two, both Kat Von D and Shia LaBeouf, and like how they've talked about like their journey into Christianity, it very much reminds me a lot, because I feel like they're going about it from like the right place, like the right angle. Because there's something unique to me and something to be said about people that find a philosophy, an ideology, a value system outside of the value system of their environment.
Yeah.
Because that's how like we are. We like are represented. Like you would never, like the way we talk and the way we operate, I feel like a lot of people would be like, man, like there is some like hood to these guys. Well, you said it before. We're kind of like mini versions of like Andrew Tate, not like on some like we're following or no shit like that, but like on the sense that like it's like there's like this like hood sophistication. It's like sort of hard to put your finger on. Is like, I don't know, is this guy hood? Is he sophisticated? He's kind of both in a weird way.
Yeah.
You know, and so like I feel like the way that we operate, it would be very hard for a lot of people to like sort of pinpoint like where we come from.
Yeah.
Like I could see people like us talking to people and maybe aside from like our accents, they probably would never know, which I don't think Chicago has an accent, but apparently it does. But like aside from our accents, they probably wouldn't know where we're from.
No.
They'll be like, oh, like even though when we went to fucking Phoenix, the remember the Uber driver? Yeah. He's like, oh, you guys are from Chicago. And I was like, how'd you know that? But it was badass. Like his philosophy, he's like, oh, big city, big heart. And I was like, damn, like this guy's like a shaman or some shit. It's
like and, the Phoenix shaman.
Yeah. But it was wild because that's like their journey. But what I was saying is there's a song that to me, like it very much like is representative of that. And I very much like this song, the Kendrick Lamar song, Rich Spirit.
Yes. Yes.
Because like what I like about that song is like he's like in basically like highlighting, like I know I'm in a certain place and like I know what the world is. And so like now it's like I really have to like actively work at like keeping my spirit rich, because it gets like that much harder when you're like in certain, like in a certain place.
Yep.
And like, it's just funny, like the
that album aged very well, because
it did.
The other day I was listening to it and I could not skip a track. I
Like, it did. You're right about that. Well, like it's aging well because it's not that old, but it is aging well. You're right about that.
Yeah, and like shit like that, like that song could easily, you could easily overlook that song, because he didn't go, first of all, he didn't go for anything crazy sonically.
Yeah.
It was real mellow.
Yeah.
But it's like Rich City broke, or Rich Spirit broke phone.
Yeah.
Like
the balance.
Yeah. It's like, whoa, like you could skip that.
It's and like, it's not like even... I could afford a new phone. In fact, I could probably afford a million new phones, but that's not the point. The point is that like, I'm basically leaving my phone broken as a reminder of like, of like, well, like, yeah, don't forget where you came from, especially in this world. Yep. And then I really like that shit is badass. I like where how he starts off. He's like, taking my baby to school and I pray for it because you bitches ain't ever been cool. Like that shit is badass because it does take you back. Like guys like us, something again that we talked about and we highlighted in our discussion that like Shia LaBeouf never experienced at a young age, or he probably never experienced at a young age, is like sort of like when you're a young dude or a young girl trying to do right, the ruthlessness of like the girls in school, like it's like all cliquish and like it's gossipy and like we're gonna make fun of this guy. And like, I mean, shit, we live in a culture where that type of shit has turned dudes into school shooters, you know what I'm saying? So like, it could be hard, and like the idea of Kendrick Lamar like highlighting that, like I take my baby to school and I pray for her because you bitches ain't never been cool. Like I know, I know the world she's in.
Yeah,
like that shit. Like just
that's
starting
deep
about,
shit. Yeah, like, that's like shit that you understand from a standpoint of like you had to have experienced it.
Exactly.
And if you didn't, and if you were part of the cool crowd, if you're part of this crowd, that line you wouldn't even understand.
And I love that song, the duality of like the humble and the arrogance, because if you notice, he goes back and forth, because he'll say that he's like, hey, my bitches taking my baby to school and I pray for it because you bitches ain't never been cool, writing testaments, something like you could put them in the Louvre, like it's like. And then what is he says? He's like, what is he saying? There's like, don't make me do a song about you.
Yeah.
Like that shit is like, I love that shit because it's like this idea of like, yes, there's moments that I know I don't have control, but at the same time, and I'm trying to be like,
I'll turn you to a something.
Yeah. I'm trying to be the good guy, which is like on some like Pulp Fiction shit, Jules.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm trying to be the shepherd.
Yes.
But like, don't make me put you in a song. Don't make don't make me like make you the subject of a song.
Yeah, that like that album reminded me of like of a Kung Fu master, like, cuz like they're like those type of people, like they're real peaceful and they look very like harmless.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh, you know, peace." And then when war comes, motherfuckers are slaying everything, like just destroying. And they say, what the fuck? This is the nicest guy. What happened? It's like, you fucked with me.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do this.
Yeah.
And it's like, and that's a great way to operate as a man in the world. Like, know that you're capable of taking it there, but also try to be as peaceful as possible. Try to be as humble as possible. You know, try to help your fellow man.
And I think the only way you get there, like, and I think both Shia LaBeouf and Kat Von D's journey sort of highlights that, is like, there has to be a spiritual aspect of it.
Yeah.
But a spiritual aspect rooted in principle. Because it's funny, because I guess like the algorithm, like I've been looking up like all this Christ Pill stuff because I knew we were going to talk about it. And like the algorithm pumped out this YouTube short. And it's funny because we're talking about both Kat Von D and Shia LaBeouf and like how interesting like that journey is. So now the algorithm pumped out this YouTube short of Ariana Grande, and it's so funny the stark difference, because she's obviously like an industry like baby, like she's like a baby of the industry. So, you know, like there's not going to be like anything too godly coming out of her mouth because like the industry would never have it.
Yeah.
And it's so wild because when I saw the video and I was like, oh, like, is this bitch actually going to say something that's like somewhat like noble and profound? I was wrong for thinking that, obviously, because like, why would I think that? But I just thought maybe from the title. But it was interesting because I don't know what interview she was in or whatever. I guess they asked her about like being raised Catholic, and then, and it's so funny how she basically like delegitimizes like whatever journey that was, because she was like, oh yeah, like, yeah, I was raised Catholic, and like I did like the whole, when I was younger, I did the whole Sunday church thing. So like, for one, to even like phrase it like that is sort of interesting, like very interesting choice of words. And then she goes on to say, she's like, yeah, but I couldn't do it because like at the time the Pope was like, think about this. At the time the Pope was super homophobic, and like he said some like bad stuff about like SpongeBob or something. So I was just like, yeah, I can't do this anymore. Like, think about how vapid that shit is that she just said. Yeah. So basically, like, what you're saying is like you've essentially jettisoned like your relationship with, and not to say you have to go to church or whatever, but you're very much delegitimizing like all of that. Yeah. Like, you could have said like, oh well, like based off, I would have actually respected it more if she was like, well, you know, my career didn't really like allow me to go to church as much anymore or whatever.
Yeah.
But I still believe in God or whatever. It was none of that. It was like, yeah, I couldn't do it anymore because it's like, oh, the Pope doesn't like gays. So it's like, what does that have to do with your relationship with God?
Yeah.
Like, what does that have to do with like how you see the world and your value system? That shit was like so wild to me. And I was like, wow. I was actually like quite glad that the algorithm pumped that out, because
it's almost like a low, like the lowest IQ answer that you can think
100%.
It's like, bitch, what?
But it's like a very like industry answer.
Yes.
Like a very like, well, I'm basically like jettisoning God because like if the Pope doesn't like gays, like I can't rock with it. But like that has like, I don't even think anybody would have made that connection if you just didn't make it.
Yeah. Like, you're an industry hack.
Yeah.
And you'll go with what they say. They're on that right now, and that's what you're going to be on. And it's sad. And so, looking at it from that perspective of Kat Von D, Shia LaBeouf, kind of taking it serious, do you think that like the movement will have will gain traction, like on a cultural level?
I think there's potential, because I do think there is a bit of a lack of spirituality, it does seem like.
Yeah.
Because it is sort of refreshing when you talk to somebody, like whenever that's actually like one of the things that I found like so fascinating about Shia LaBeouf and some of these interviews, is that a lot of what he said, and I even said this to you earlier, and how he talks, it does remind me a little bit of how we talk, how guys like Andrew Tate talk. It's like there's this like man like toughness to it, but there's always like this backdrop of like God being there. And that's not something that I've come across a lot. I've come across it, like I my dad possesses that, but that's not something I've come across a lot in my life.
Yeah.
And I noticed that people do like gravitate towards that. It's like this idea of like this person is like a gladiator, but they're not like a gladiator for like their ego. They're gladiator because they know that like there's like a higher being that like wants them to be a gladiator, that like requires them to be a gladiator.
Yeah.
And people like that. Like there's something that people like. So I could see it, like if I'm looking at things optimistically, I could see that people would be like, oh, well, you know what? And then also too, I do think, and I think Kat, more so Kat Von D's story highlights this more. I do think that like we are on a fast track to like a lot of depression and like a lot of people feeling wayward. Actually, Myron, he had like this very, from Fresh and Fit, again, I feel like he's been like on a very different wavelength as of late. Very respectable one too. He said something recently. Matter of fact, I think he might have said it in that Red Pill roundtable that we discussed. But I don't think we covered this particular thing that he said. He said something very interesting. He said that if you look at like Britney Spears and you look at like so many of like the girls that like and celebrity women that like became famous in that time and like sort of like the downward spiral that they've endured, it was like he attributes a lot of it to like obviously like all of the attention, the celebrity and everything like that, and like now where you don't really like have the talent to be like what you once were. You're definitely not getting the attention that you once were getting. Everybody around you is basically on some like, oh, I'm trying to like use her or like see what I could get out of her, even like down to her family.
Yeah.
He said back then though, there was no social media. He theorizes, and it is worth listening to, I think, whether you agree with it or not. He theorizes that a lot of girls that like are basically getting that same degree or a similar degree of attention and likes and validation on social media now, because social media wasn't present back then. Yeah. But there are some women that are basically getting comparable attention to like what celebrity women used to get,
yeah,
from the likes and everything, that as they get older, as they age, as guys stop finding them as attractive as they do now, he predicts like a epidemic of just like downward, women going like on a downward spiral, which I mean, we're already kind of seeing that, like antidepressants is like at a prescriptions that are at all time high.
Wait, who said this?
And with Myron.
Myron. Yeah. Damn. Yeah. I could totally see that. I could see that, because it almost would be like the same, the Hollywood effect, the existential thing, like where once reality hits,
yeah,
and it's like, oh man, because you have to also account for like these Hollywood women, they have the resources to stay looking young, like,
yeah,
you know, Kat Von D.
At least on TV.
Yeah, like, on TV,
like,
yeah.
Maybe like in real life, you'd be like, oh, this bitch, but.
Yeah, and so they have all these, a lot more resources than the typical chick. And it's like, you will age.
Yeah.
We all do. We can't beat the aging process. And if that attributes...
Only TB12 can.
Right? Yeah. Like, if that attributes to like, the attention, or if that happens and your attention from men, like, goes down, what does that do to your psyche?
Especially if so much of your perceived value is based off of that.
Yeah.
That's where it gets real greasy, is like, well, like, this is what I was told to be.
Yeah.
And like, now it's not getting me what it used to get me. Like, it used to be able to get me a husband that was like willing to like work, sacrifice and everything for me. Now it's just getting me like a guy that wants to nail me and like keep it moving, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting.
One more question.
Yeah.
Christ Pill. Who do you think Christ Pill would fuck with more, the Red Pill or the Blue Pill?
I don't think there's a dichotomy there. I think that, like, well, if you're talking about like specific like the doctrine that many trad cons adopt, then yeah, it definitely would fuck with more with the Blue Pill.
Yeah,
but I feel like I'll put it to you like this, and I think this is like a pretty good way of answering this, and I just thought about this. I feel like the trad cons, the Blue Pill, they would be the, well, I guess if we're going to use the, call it the Christ Pill, well, then it only applies to the New Testament because Christ wasn't in the Old Testament. But like, if we're talking about the Christ Pill, then yeah, like specifically, like that's more, I would say that like leans more towards like the blue pill. Yeah. But I feel like if we're talking like the God pill, then like the Old Testament stuff would definitely be like the more red pill stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Know? So yeah, that's how I would phrase that.
That's crazy.
Well, that's our episode for this week. Thank you guys so much for listening. The show continues to grow because you guys keep listening, so keep on listening. Remember, if we talk about something that you know somebody would be interested in, please share the episode with them. We're on all podcast platforms. If you want to help us stay independent, go to our website. You can donate an amount of your choosing or buy some merch. And, yeah, we'll see you guys next week. We're out. Peace.
Peace.